Well, good morning. It's good to see you guys. How are y'all doing? You might be wondering why there's red shirts everywhere, and here's why. Because as you saw on the video, we are not a come and see church. We are a go and do church, because that's what God's called us to. And so today, my charge and my call is pastor, and if you're a guest here, I am the pastor, and it's an honor to be that. But my call and my encouragement and my challenge to you is get plugged in and serve in our community. So Serve Day actually happens this coming Saturday, the 13th. And my heart is that all of us plug in and serve. We'll literally have hundreds of people serving at 15 anchor projects all through the lake area. And that doesn't include the many, many small groups that are doing their own projects. And we'll literally have hundreds of people serving, but there's always room for more. So please get plugged up. In fact, this is what I'm going to ask you to do as we go red for Serve Day. I want you to look at the seat back in front of you and take a moment and grab that card and hold it up in the air for me. Do that for me. Can y'all do that? Come on. Thank you. Wow, that's impressive. Y'all are very obedient. Thank you. So here's what I'm going to ask for you to do. Get involved and take a moment. And right now, there's a pen in front of you as well. Fill that out and be a part of Serve Day. Here's the only two things that you have to do to be a part. You ready? Here's the first one, sign up. And then the second one is this, Saturday at 8:30 a.m., show up here, because we're going to have a rally together where we come together, that we pray, that we have some fellowship, maybe even some food, and then we go out into our community and we work on some really cool projects. We're going to be in 4 schools. We're painting the bleachers at Oak Park Middle, and we need a lot of help with that. My small group of guys is doing that. We're a part of that, not just us, because we need your help, because it's a lot of bleachers. We're going to be painting at T.H. Watkins, at Hamilton. We'll be working at Ralph Wilson. We'll be doing community projects, and as far as dealing with the elderly and single moms that need some help around the home. We have people that are going to nursing homes and singing and praying with them, handing out water at Park. Just, we want to be a blessing to people. And here's the really cool thing. If you have small kids, because we are also a multi-generational church, we have some really family-friendly projects. So are y'all filling that card out? Are y'all gonna fill that out? Good. Because here's what's gonna happen. It's not something that we get to do often, but you have an opportunity right now to give in every area that the Bible asks us to give in, because there's only 3. This is what God asks for us: to give of our time, to give of our talent, and to give of our treasure. So ushers, why don't you guys come on up? Y'all can start taking up the offering. As you fill out that card with Serve Day, you get to serve your time and your talent, and I want to give you the opportunity to give with your treasure as well, and y'all can start passing that, because we want to make an impact in our community. Here's the deal. You're never more like Jesus than when you serve. How many of you, you've given to somebody, you've served somebody, maybe it was really small or maybe it was big, but how many of you, when you were done giving and serving, you felt good afterwards? Come on, has anybody, come on, have you? We have. Here's the truth, that when you give, you get something back. Jesus put it this way, he said, it's better to give than to receive. And my wife and I found that to be very, very true. We've given a few things. Like, we've given, like, this is what we've given, like vehicles and clothing. Like, we've given those things. It's amazing. You reap what you sow. The reason that Jesus said it's better to give than to receive is not because he's wanting people to give, because he wants them to know that it is good. But here's why people don't give. Can I tell you why people don't give? It's not because they don't want to. People want to give. I know this for a fact. People want to give of their time, they want to give of their talent, and they want to give of their treasure. And the reason that people are hesitant to give is not because they don't want to, it's because they've never truly received something really good from God. And I pray that today that we can all receive something really good, because when you receive from God, it makes it really easy to give in those 3 areas of your time and your talent and your treasure. And this coming Saturday, We're going to have a blast as hundreds of us blanket this whole community. And by the way, that video that you saw, that wasn't our church. That was our sister church from last year when they did Serve Day, and it was a huge success. And we're going to see just as big of an impact in our community as they did in theirs. And their church runs about 6,000 on the weekend. And we'll probably, honestly, I'm betting we're going to have as many people serving as they did. So are y'all going to serve? Good. We're going to pray. We're going to jump into Jonah. That's the series that we're in. So Father, thank you for this time today. I just pray that, Lord, I just pray that as we step out of ourselves and we go out into our community, that people don't just see us in red shirts going out and doing something good, but they get a glimpse of your heart for them. Father, help us to be your ambassadors. Lord, that you use our hands, you use our hearts, you use our mouths, that people encounter you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. All right, we're jumping in to Jonah, finding God's goodness when life swallows you whole. And last week, that's what we talked about. When life swallows us whole, how in the middle of it can we find God's goodness? And so we're going through the book of Jonah, and if you've never read a book in the Bible, this is a great one to read because it's only four chapters and will take you about 10 minutes to read the whole thing. Most people in some form or fashion have heard of the story of Jonah, have you? Of course you have. Most people have, even if they don't grow up in church. And the interesting aspect of this story is not about Jonah being in the whale, but really the call of God that was on Jonah's life. And then the difficulty that he experienced because he did it his own way. Can you relate? Yes. Yeah, I can too. And so we talked last week, I'm just going to briefly review. How do we find God's goodness in a difficult situation? Because we've all been in difficult situations. And in fact, we've all been in storms in our life, haven't we? And can I just say that not every storm that you encounter is from the pit of hell. Let me just remind you that some of the storms that you end up in and I end up in are storms of our own making. Now, here's the truth, that there are storms from the pit of hell. Have you ever had everything line up against you when you're trying to do the right thing and you find yourself in a storm that was not of your own making? Anybody here? Yeah. Can I just say, though, that regardless of whether you were in a storm that was not you, this is from the pit of hell and like you're doing everything you should, or you're in a storm that was really because of your own stupid way, you can find God in both of them. Because God is there waiting for you. If it's a storm of your own making, just like Jonah, he ran from the purpose and call of God. And yet God was waiting for him to turn to him. And the storm ended up with Jonah. Y'all know the story. God tells Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, which is the capital of Assyria. It's modern day Mosul, Iraq. It's the capital of the most brutal empire the world had ever known. These were brutal, horrible people, and they were advancing quickly towards Jonah's home country, Israel. And Jonah, like every other Israeli, was scared to death and hated them because they were so brutal. And God told him, I want you to go to them and I want you to preach to them and tell them to turn from their wicked ways and I'm going to use you and there's going to be a great revival. And Jonah said, I don't want that. I don't want them all to die. I'm paraphrasing and speculating on some areas, but that's basically it. And so God says, go to Nineveh. Well, Nineveh was about a 1,500-mile walk from where Jonah was living. Instead, Jonah went south to the port of Joppa, then caught a ship to Tarshish, which was 2,500 miles away. Tarshish is the coast of modern-day western Spain. In other words, Jonah went as far away as he could get from Nineveh. It was the end of the known world, Spain, sticking way out there. That's where he went. I'm going to the end of the earth. And you know the story. When he's on the ship, he's sleeping at the bottom, and God brings this huge storm. And it almost destroys the ship. It says the ship is being broken apart. In fact, all of the sailors, because he's on a cargo ship, all of the sailors are tossing all of the goods overboard to lighten the ship because they don't want to sink, but they think that they're going to die. Finally, the captain goes down to Jonah and says, how can you sleep, man? Who are you? What are you doing here? What's the matter with you? And Jonah says, I serve the God of heaven and earth, of the seas and the land, the one true God. I'm like, really? Really, you're serving God by running from him. But the reality is that's the place of a lot of Christians, isn't it? I've been there. That you serve God I'm the only one that served God by running from him. Like, yeah, I'm serving God, but really I'm running from him? And then Jonah says, throw me into the sea. It'll stop the storm. And you know the story. This is where most people know the story. As soon as they throw him in, two things happen. Number one, the storm immediately stops. Number two, a big old fish comes and eats Jonah. And he spends 3 days and nights inside the belly of this fish. And at the end of that 3 days and nights, you know what Jonah does? He prays. That's so funny. Because so many times, the storm doesn't get our attention, but getting close to death sure does. Jonah prays, and his prayer is a prayer of, God, I forgot you. I did my own thing. Forgive me. I'll do what you asked me to do. He prays that prayer, and then that fish gets sick and pukes him out right on the shore. And then Jonah goes to Nineveh. And because of Jonah's delayed obedience, still obedience though, because of that, over 120,000 people from the king all the way down to the person who's the poorest and the lowest of their society, all of them turn to God and turn from their wicked ways. It's an amazing book. You should read it. That's what we're speaking out of for them. I'm speaking for last week and then this week and two more weeks about that. Last week, we talked about the importance of being in a difficult situation when you feel like you're in a storm, whether it's a storm that wasn't of your making or it's a storm of your making, that you can know some things. So we're going to hit that very quickly. Number one, you can know what God's called you to do. If it's a storm from the pit of hell, you have to know that God's called you to be with him because he's already there with you. If it's a storm that is of your making because you did your own thing and you're paying the piper, you can know this, that God's waiting for you to turn to him just like Jonah. You have to know what to do. But listen to me, you'll never know what to do until you know who God is and who you are. He is Lord. You are his. And when you surrender to his will and his way, he is always there with you. You got to know what God's called you to do. The second thing, you have to know the impact of your decisions. You can you have the freedom to choose whether or not you are going to be with God. You have the freedom to choose that. And here's the third thing. You can know that it's never too late to change your direction. Never too late. At the moment where Jonah thought he was dying, it actually says that in his prayer in chapter 2. He prays and he says, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. The fish spits him out. And here's why. Because it's never too late to change direction. And I love this one. And God is a God of second chances, always. If you're breathing, if you can hear my voice, if you're here or you're online, let me just tell you, it's never too late to change directions, and God is a God of second chances. Last week was all about experiencing God's goodness in the middle of difficulty. This week is about going. Fitting that Serve Day is this week, this coming Saturday, this coming weekend. And when we put these messages together, Pastor Josh and our team that works with that, it just fell this way without us even realizing it, because we had the message series before we realized that when Serve Day was. But this week is about going. And I want you to know that you experience God's goodness and difficulty by knowing that God's with you. You just have to turn to him, by knowing that he's never going to leave you, by knowing that it's never too late to change directions, by knowing that you can be with him. That's how you experience God's goodness and difficulty. But can I tell you, you will always experience God's goodness when you are going, because he's spoken to you. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Here it is. It says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Can you go back to verse 1? The Lord gave this message. How many of you would like to hear clearly God's message to you? Come on, raise your hand. Have you ever wondered, God, what is it that you want to speak to me? God, I want to know what I need to do. I'm willing to go, but I need to hear from you. Have you ever wondered what your call, God's call to you is? Have you ever wondered that? Lots of people have. That is honestly the most common question that I have as a pastor. It boils down to this. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? But let me just say that you will never know what you're called to do unless you first hear from God. Here's the good news. God is a speaker. God's a speaker. He's speaking all the time. The question is not, God, are you speaking? The question becomes, am I listening? We want this. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. We want it that clear. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I've heard him many, many times. I didn't need the audible voice because I knew that he spoke. And here's what he always speaks. Here's verse 2. You ready? Get up and go. This is what he tells Jonah. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I've seen how wicked its people are. It's always get up and go. Get up and go. That's what God's called us to do, to get up and to go. Like he's called us, each one of us, everybody here has a call on your life. People look at me and as a pastor and go, well, there's a call of God on your life. And then you'll hear pastors say that, well, I knew the call of God that was on my life to ministry. And let me just clarify. Everyone here has a call of God on their life to ministry. Everyone. And let me just say that the church is not an organization, the church is not a program, and the church, show as heck, is not a building. Do you know what the church is? It's people who hear from God, recognize his call on their life, and then they go out and they do what God's called them to do because they've encountered him and they've become what he's called them to be. And the natural byproduct of that is going out as a conduit of God's goodness coming into us, but going through us into the darkness because we're the light that brings hope, that brings the word of truth to people, that God knows them, that he loves them, that Jesus has a purpose and a plan for them. That's the church. And that's why we serve. Because we know what God's called us to. But here's the reality. Many, if not most, Christians struggle with knowing their call. So here's today's message. It's 3 points. To go when God calls means that you must. This is very practical. Very practical. There's 3 things that if you're going to go when God calls, because a lot of people want to go, but they don't know how to go or where to go or what they're to do when they do go. Does that about sum it up? To know that you can go when God calls. To go when he calls means this. Number one, here's the first one. You've got to be able to hear the Lord. You have to know how to hear the Lord. I want you to hear God's voice. I'm in Lake Charles because God spoke to me. Wasn't an audible voice. Nobody walked up to me and said, you must go to Lake Charles, and if you do not, all hell shall open up, the ground shall... It wasn't that. It was God speaking. To go when he calls means you've got to know it's him. Jesus tells this story about the 4 types of hearts that, like, there's only 4. And in the book of Luke in chapter 8, he tells this story about a farmer. Now he's speaking to primarily farmers. And he tells this story about this farmer that's sowing seed. And at the end, he explains the whole parable. And he says that the seed that's being sowed is God speaking to people. It's the word of God. It's God speaking to people. So the parable is about, he says, there's this farmer and he's sowing seeds because he wants a harvest. He wants something to come from that seed that's being sowed. But the seed is God speaking to you. How many of you would like God to speak to you today? I think we all do. That's why you're at church. And then he goes on to talk about where the seed fell, and it fell on 4 different hearts. We are the soil in this parable. So I'm going to read verses 5 through 8, Luke 8, 5 5 through 8. It says, a farmer, this is Jesus speaking, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Others fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still, other seed fell on good soil, and it came up, and it yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And then he says this. When he said this, he called out, he who has ears, let him hear. I want you to hear how you hear God. First of all, we have to check our own heart. So he says, the sower's sowing, but some of it fell on a footpath. So I have two German shepherds, and they're big, beefy dogs. And I love them. They're great dogs. They don't necessarily like each other, but they keep the riffraff out. And if you'd come to my house, you'd be like, okay, watch out for those dogs, because they're big, mean-looking dogs. But they have this one problem, aside from fighting. They have this problem. It's not their problem, but it's a problem for me, and particularly my wife, because she likes like working in the flower beds and making sure that the front yard looks nice. They have this path that they've worn down, because I didn't know it, but German shepherds walk the same path over and over and over, and they will leave a path of whatever path they choose to take. And when I cut grass, like all the grass is good except on the path. And on the path, you know what it is? Hard, packed dirt and some nasty weeds. That's what it is. And Jesus is telling this story, and he says, some of the seed falls on a footpath, and look, this is what it says. It was trampled on. This is a hard heart. This is people who have been trampled on. Somebody, maybe a father or a mother or a sibling, maybe it's been a boyfriend or a spouse, has walked all over your heart, and it's hard, and now you want to protect that because you don't want anybody else walking on your heart. And listen to me carefully. If that is you, you need two things. You need, number one, some healing, but it only comes when you allow the plow of God's Spirit to rip up the wounded, hurt areas in your life, because you receive His forgiveness for your sin, and you extend forgiveness to those who have sinned against you. The reason that so many people have trouble hearing God is not because they don't want to hear God. It's because their heart is hard, and they're withholding the very thing they want from God. They withhold that from the people who've done them wrong, forgiveness. If you refuse to forgive, don't expect to hear from God. Don't expect to hear from God. Jesus was he went even a little further. Go read Matthew 7, Matthew 6 and Matthew 7. Go read. If you want to hear God, you have to let the plow of the Holy Spirit rip up the hard areas of your life. You have to forgive. That's one type of soil. Is my heart hard? If my heart's hard, I won't be able to hear from the Lord. The next one was the rocky ground. Jesus says, some of the seed fell on the rocky ground, and it was full of these big rocks, and the dirt wasn't very deep because the rocks had pushed out all of the soil, and so things sprouted up, but there was no root, they couldn't get to the moisture underneath, so it really didn't produce anything. What are the rocks in our lives? Really, that's our temptation and our sin and our obsessions that push out the good soil and keep that seed from going deep. So here's what Jesus is saying, and my point is that if you have a hard heart where you refuse to forgive, you're always going to have trouble hearing from God. If you have a heart that has rocks of sin, rocks of obsession, you're not going to be able to hear God because those rocks are pushing out the soil and keeping the seed, the word of God, from getting down deep inside of you. With the footpath, the birds ate it. With the rocky heart of sin, it can spring up, but it's only shallow because your sin is deeper than the word is allowed to go. You guys follow me with that? And here's the third type of heart that he talks about. It says there's weedy. So he's sowing, like God's speaking. He's constantly sowing seed. God's a speaker, but his word falls on some people, their heart's hard. unforgiveness. They've been trampled on. Some people, their heart is full of sin, and it can spring up, but it can't get deep because they still have big hardened areas of their own way and their own will that keep God, his word, from going deep in them and from them really getting what he's speaking to them. And the third one is weeds. It was sown among the thorns, and it choked out what was coming up. Let me just say, that's the pace of this world. That's the pace of this world. Is it just me, or has the world become busier in the last 10 years, 5 years? It's like the older I get, you're thinking, is the world speeding up, or what's going on? And I get it. I've got 4 kids, and they have activities, and they have school, and we have church, and we have, if we're not careful, we'll allow the worries of this world to choke out God speaking to us. I want you to go because the goodness of God is found in the going and answering his call. But first you have to hear it. And if you don't deal with the unforgiveness in your heart, if you don't deal with the sin in your life, if you don't deal with the pace and the craziness and the worries of this world, you'll never get to the fourth heart, which is good soil. Now, here's the good news. Everybody here, you can be good soil. And that's the parable. 25% of the seed fell on good soil, and it produced this huge return. So maybe you have a trampled heart. Maybe you have a rocky heart, and there's some sin you need to rip out. Maybe you've got a heart with thorns in it. There's some things in this world that are just choking everything out. Really simple. If you got a hard heart that's been hardened through pain, receive God's forgiveness extended to others and let the plow of his Holy Spirit free you and begin to till up that hard ground. If there's areas of sin, pull them out. Oh, there's that rock. Just see the top of it. Here's the whole thing and it's big. God, I'm removing that. And if you've got thorns, rip them up by the roots. Guess what happens when you plow up the hard ground, you take out all the rocks, and you pull out all the weeds? What are you left with? You're left with good soil. And the reason that people don't go, they don't experience the goodness and the call of God on their life, it's not because they don't want to. It's because there's hardness of heart, there's sin, and there's busyness that keep us from hearing God. You'll never know the goodness of going unless you're able to hear God's call on your life. That's number one. Here's number two. Y'all ready? Wait, before I go to number two, can I read this? Because a lot of people will say, you know what? I think I've done that, but I'm still having trouble hearing. Matthew 7:7-9, Jesus says this. He says, keep on asking, you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, you'll find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? I feel like I've dealt with the unforgiveness, the hardness of heart, the pain of the past. I feel like I've ripped up the sin. I feel like I'm getting pretty good at like pulling up the thorns that are trying to choke out my life, but I'm still having problems. Here's what I'm going to say, what Jesus said. Keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. If somebody shows up at the door of your house and they do this to knock, this is what they do. And they just stand there and then wait, maybe like a day. You'd be like, and then you hear again. You'd be like, who? If somebody comes to my house and gets past the dogs and they go to the front door and they just go, I'm not answering because that person's weird. Why are you standing there knocking one time? That's strange. I'm not answering the door for you. Don't come to my house and knock one time. What do normal people do? First of all, they text. I get it. They text first. Even my best friends text us before they come over. But if somebody's going up to your door and they want to get in, what are they going to do? They're going to be like, they're going to wait a minute. And if they really want your attention, what are they going to do? Have y'all done this on people you know? hey, where you at? Open up the door. I know you in there. Jesus is saying, be persistent. Deal with the issues of the heart, and then keep being persistent. I got four kids. My youngest is 9, so they're getting older. But even now, he'll come up and be like, if I'm talking to somebody, I'll be there in a second, son. It's not because I don't love him. It's because I'm involved with him. Dad, he's not knocking on the door. He's like tapping me or like pulling my shirt. Parents, do y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, hold on. But can I tell you? I'll get to him. Because his timing isn't always my timing. But my heart is for him and his heart is for me. A good father will always answer. So will God. So if you want to go when God calls, you must be able to hear the Lord. Here's the second thing. People are not going to like this one. You have to be determined to get up. You have to be determined to get up. That means you have to determine in your heart, when God speaks to me, I'm going to get up and I'm getting up. I'm doing it. Because here's what you got to know, that you will never become what you want to be if you don't do what you need to do. Can we put that up there? You will never become what you want to be if you don't do what you need to do. Let me just remind you that faith is lived out loud. It's not just what we believe. If we say that we believe something, we're going to act on it. And many times people get to the place where they want to be what God's called them to be, but they're not willing to do what they know that they need to do to get to the place that they've become what they want to be, what they feel God's called to be, because the reality is that it's discipline and it's hard and it's not fun. And that means that we may have to set an alarm clock. That means that we may have to go do something that we don't necessarily want to do, but we know that we need to do it so that we can become what we're called to be, but it's easier to sit down in front of a screen. Am I stepping on toes yet? And that the word that we have to recognize, it's a spiritual discipline. It's discipline. You know they're actually spiritual disciplines? They're not called spiritual feel goods. They're called spiritual disciplines. Worship, prayer, study, solitude, rest. We have to discipline ourselves. I have to discipline myself to rest. I have to do what I don't want to do because I got projects going on. I got things to go, places to see. I've got people to deal with. I may have to do what I know I need to do. Why? So I can become what I'm called to be. Hebrews 12:11. It's a life verse for me. It says, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Anybody who's ever spent time in a gym knows what I'm talking about. The first time you step into a gym, you've been out of the gym for 2 weeks, and you go back to the gym. I don't like weights, but I love cardio. I go back to the gym, and I'm doing cardio. It's been 2 weeks. Let me just tell you, this rings true. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Have y'all ever done something that you didn't want to do? It was a discipline, you had to do it, and it was miserable. Are y'all alive? Come on, people. It's painful. But afterwards, there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. If right now I could snap my fingers and everybody sitting here, your body would change into what your spirit looked like. I wonder if there'd be some people that maybe their physical body may not be too much to behold, but when they snap their fingers, boom, they're like bowed up and in shape and look like they're like a national CrossFit champion because they've done what they may not want to necessarily do, but they know they need to become the person that God's called them to be. And I wonder if there's some bowed up CrossFitter champions that there but snap their fingers and they're like either grossly obese and horribly unhealthy, or they're more than likely like sickly skinny because they've got a spiritual eating disorder. No discipline is enjoyable. It's painful. While it's happening, it's painful. Man, so when I was cycling a lot, like 200 miles a week, my wife is glad I don't do that now because it was kind of an obsession. but I was 25 pounds lighter. We'll start with that. And I will say that there is nothing as miserable as cycling for competitive cyclists, because you monitor what you eat, you spend hours and hours and hours every week in the saddle on a bike, and your rides, it's not uncommon to have a three-hour ride weekly, three and a half hours. That's not uncommon. And when you're riding, the person who wins, this is the running joke, the person who wins is the person who suffers the most. And I remember training hard, hating it. But you know what made it all worth it? When I get at the end of a long ride, and I'd be right up there in the A group, like vying for the end, and I'm sprinting towards the end, and you get done, and you're like, oh my gosh. It made it all worth it. And it made me want to get on a bike and experience this pain, because I knew the pleasure of becoming what I knew that I could be. You guys following me with this? To go, when God calls you, you gotta be able to hear him. You have to be determined to get up, set the alarm, get up early, stay up late, seek God, do what he's called you to do. And here's the last thing as we wrap up. You have to be willing to go. You have to be willing to go. Are you willing to go? In the story of Jonah, he wasn't willing to go where God called him at first. It wasn't until he experienced pain in the belly of the fish that he decided that he'd go. So I'm going to tell you right now, this isn't fun. To go in the calling of God, there's always pain. There's always pain. Sometimes that pain is a result of us not wanting to go, so we run, and our circumstances bring us to the place where we have to choose. Am I gonna die in the middle of my own way, or am I gonna trust God and go the way that he wants me to? And the other pain is what Jonah experienced in the end, where he went to a place that he didn't want to go, to a people that he didn't want to go to, but he operated in obedience. I get it. I didn't want to come to Lake Charles. I didn't know a single person here. I didn't dislike the people of Lake Charles. I didn't know them, and because I didn't know them, there wasn't this huge burden to come here until God spoke and told me, this is where you're to be. Very clearly heard from him. And my wife and I determined, we're going to get up, and God, we're willing to go. And the place where I didn't want to be with the people that I didn't know became the place of life and hope. And it became a home because I heard from God. I got up and I got going. I'm not special, not in that regard. Because the call of God is on everyone. Man, don't listen to the lie of the enemy that says you can't know the call of God because it's so big, or make you say this is your call and it's so big that it seems impossible and it's discouraging. Let me just remind you that all we have is the present. The past has already happened, and the future is not what we think that it is, and it's determined by what we do right now. And so maybe it is. Maybe you're going to be a pastor of tens of thousands of people, or maybe you're going to be a missionary in a foreign country. I don't know, but I know that all you have is this moment. And all you have is every moment. And in each and every moment, when you choose to seek God, make sure your heart is right. Hear from him. Determine, I'm going to get up every moment of every day and I'm going to go. God's going to use you. You know, we can't see the end because we're always at the beginning. But God is the one who sees the end from the beginning. Let me just say, how do you get to the place where you're able to fulfill the call and get going? Here's how. Seek God with all of your heart. Tend your own heart well. Deal with the hardness. Deal with the rocks. Deal with the thorns. Seek God and tend your heart. he'll speak. In all of my years in ministry, which now is like, dear Lord, 20. In all of my years in ministry, I've never seen a person that dealt with the areas of their heart, sought God with all of their heart, and disciplined themselves to get up, seek him, deal with their heart, and serve people. I've never seen a single person that ever did that that was unable to hear from God. And most of those people, though they may have day jobs, you know what their life is lived for? Serving God and serving others. And they change everything around them. Not because they're good, they're just obedient, but because God is, and they know him, and he speaks to them about who they are and the call on their life, and they go out as light into dark, hopeless situations where people feel like there is no tomorrow or that the today that they have is miserable, and God uses them, and they change the world. So here's the last thing. This message is about going. But the call of God is always first to come to him. Don't worry about the going if you're not first having come to him. And maybe you're here today and you know that there's distance between you and God. Maybe there's some sin that's separating you and God. Maybe there's a situation. I don't know what it is, but I know that if you want to go, you can't first go into what God's called you to unless you first come to him. The call of God is always first to come to him. And maybe that's some of you here today. So let's bow our heads. If that's you, that you know that this message was for you, and maybe there's some things in your heart that are keeping you from hearing God, let me just tell you right now, God loves you, and he knows you, and he wants to speak to you about who he is and about who you are, and that you were forgiven, that Jesus died on the cross to take the penalty for your sin, and that we can have a new life because of him. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I know this message is for me, and I know that today I need to come to him. I need to draw near to him. Like you described my heart, maybe it's a hard heart, or maybe it's a heart with sin, or maybe it's a heart that's just busy and you've done your own thing. Maybe today the call and the point of this whole message isn't necessarily about you going out into community, but it's first you communing with God because he's calling you to him. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm far from God. I know there's distance. Today I'm choosing to come to him. Nobody's looking around. I won't embarrass you, but if that's you, say, Pastor, that's me. Just raise your hand right now. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Come on, raise them high. Come on, there's tons of people all across here, all across this congregation. Father, I just pray for those with their hands raised, that God, that they turn their heart towards you, that Lord, that you become very real right where they are right now. If you have your hand raised, I want you to pray with me. In fact, let's all of us just pray. Just repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I turn to you. I seek you. I turn from my ways and my sin. I receive your forgiveness. Cleanse me. I want to know you. And I want you to know that I'm yours. It's in your name, Jesus, I pray. And now we're going to say it loudly. Come on. Amen. Come on, let's clap. Thank you, God. And God is at work in our church, people. I say it all the time, but it just keeps being true, true, true. The best is yet to come. We're going to be out of here in about 30 seconds, so don't step out just yet. If God dealt with you today, let me encourage you to connect with somebody. You've connected with him. So take a moment and grab that connection card in the seat back in front of you. Fill that out. Let us know what's going on. And now you see the crosses on the side walls. Our ministry team, you guys can go. If you need prayer, don't walk out of here without praying with someone. I can't encourage you enough to do that. Connect with God, connect with people, and then I'm telling you, he'll commission you on what he's called you to, and it's awesome. So why don't we stand to our feet? We're going to pray. And you'll be dismissed. And if you need prayer, please connect. If you haven't filled out your serve day card and put it in the bucket, bring it to the Connection Center. Y'all can pick up shirts on your way out. Father, thank you for this time today. I pray blessing on everyone here. May we walk in your calling because we've connected with you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love you guys. You're dismissed. God bless. You need prayer, you come.